Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Light the candle, tiger!
Hi there, a warm welcome to the Racing Post Golf Postcast. Bruce Millington, Steve Palmer and Paddy Powers, Ian McLaughlin. Looking back on last weekend, another successful one. If you followed Mr. Palmer, and hopefully he will follow up, three tournaments, the Australian PGA. We've got the Target and we've got the Mauritius Open. So, plenty to get stuck into. We'll look back before we look ahead though, Steve. You had a bit of a wobble the week before, didn't you? Hit the bar on a few occasions, but it was pretty good last week, wasn't it, all told? How much did you trouser?
I trouser 21 grand profit.
Oh, lovely.
Which was good because obviously the previous week, over-aggressive staking plan the previous week and all went a bit wrong, so it was nice to get back on track. But as usual, I was seeking perfection. I was fuming by the end of the Hong Kong Open. I mean, Matt Fitzpatrick looked like he was going to deliver the perfect week. But all went wrong on the 17th hole. Did you see the closing stages of the Hong Kong Open?
I did see it, yeah, I did. Rye was very solid, wasn't he? Didn't miss a thing, did he?
He was, but I think if Fitzpatrick hadn't three-putted the 17th, I think it might have been a different story. There's a big difference between taking a two-shot lead and a one-shot lead down the last at Hong Kong Golf Club.
Because, and his first putt grazed the hole, didn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
When you're watching though, Steve, does your knees ever bend? You know when golfers just miss a putt and their knees just bend? Do yours, don't mine do something? I sort of involuntarily bend.
Yeah, I have a lot of knee problems. They're bending at the best of times. But I just think if Fitzpatrick, he got a little bit too aggressive on that putt on the 17th. There was no need to push at that point because of the 18th hole. That I've seen many a two-shot swing on the 18th hole down the years at the Hong Kong Golf Club. That's the toughest hole. And I think if Rye was going up that final hole with a one-shot lead, I think it would have been a different story. But we mustn't grumble.
The World Cup was incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah, the World Cup was excellent. Yeah, we had the first and second there. At the Australia Fitzpatrick each way double. I didn't make the same mistake I made the previous week. If you remember, I had Rahm and Simpson win only at Australia and Fitzpatrick each way double, and that delivered 11 of those bags. It was a good week. Four selections, second and third and first and second. You got to be happy, but I'm just chasing absolute perfection at the moment. So, the quest continues.
Excellent. And Ian, we had the old novelty event last Friday as well, didn't we? Tiger v Phil. Steve almost called it. He said back Phil to be leading after nine holes and Tiger to win it. And it almost caught, didn't it? Was there much betting interest in that, Ian?
It did. It started to really, once it got onto Sky, the turnover kind of really started to chug along. Now, geez, the standard of golf wasn't the best. God, they were slapping it around. I think level par versus plus one after 18 holes. And then, I don't know if you saw the farcical scenes that was happening in the playoff hole, where they had to cut the new hole on the side of the green, go back to the putting green to tee off from there 95 yards. And had to do that four times. And I'm sitting there in the office on my own, about, I think it's quarter past one when they get onto the 22nd hole. Jesus Christ, that's it. You're coming down. Well, I don't know. I could be here fucking all night.
Or oh, God my knows goodness. What the... Oh,
dear. Yeah. So oh, it was a tough watch all evening. So, yeah. But turnover was quite good. And the book was kind of... It was going back and forth. It was a good match in terms of turnover. Phil taking the lead. Tiger coming back. So, yeah, it was even spread of money across the two players.
How did you rate the banter, Steve?
Well, I didn't have high hopes for the banter when they started talking about the weather on the first hole. They didn't have much of a plan for the banter, did they?
But all they needed was someone to sing straight down the middle, like the most, that's the most boring thing a golfer can do, isn't it? Sing straight down the middle, and that was all it needed. What I thought, Steve, is they should have had funnier caddies, shouldn't they? I mean, let's face it, you don't need someone every single round to carry yardage and do all that meticulous preparation. They could have picked two really interesting comedians there, couldn't they? Or two funny fellow golfers and got them on the back. That would have upped the banter no end, I think, don't you?
No, it definitely lacked something, didn't it? Because I fell asleep on the back nine because it was a really brutal week because Hong Kong and World Cup are through the night. So you watch golf all through the night and then on the Friday night there, I didn't have enough in the tank for the back nine. So I tried, but I failed. There wasn't sufficient entertainment there.
Okay, Ian, Steve did well. How did you go with your punting? I think Sharma got you a little place, didn't he? That was nice.
Yeah, exactly. Kept us ticking over. Didn't he reach the heady heights of the week previous? But Sharma place of 40s kept us ticking over. So yeah, looking forward to this week again.
Jolly good. Well, we'll have a look at this week in a moment. But first of all, I've got to pay tribute to someone on Twitter called Glenn Lavery or Lavery, who sent an incredible Steve Palmer song in. I don't know if you guys have seen it. It's absolutely superb. It's basically, he's rewritten the lyrics to Karma Chameleon by Culture Club. And I don't know whether to sing it or not. I've got a bit of a cold. but basically, I'll have a go. It says, hang on a sec, where is it? Hang on. Right, it goes, the golf postcast is an addiction. I'm a man who did not know how to win at golf punting. Gave Steve a go. Palmy the genius. My career going up in flames here. He bets on golf. Winning's very easy, but the million is his dream. From tee to green. And it goes on like that. It's marvellous. You've got to have a look at it.
Exceptional. Yeah, I will have a look at it. No, well done. That's
song.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Well, definitely excellently written. Yeah, not sure.
That was actually superb.
No, that was a great effort. No, I'd be surprised if that's not the highlight of my day. That was very good.
Yeah. Well, go on to it. He's called at Lavery Glen with two N's, and he's written a beautiful one there. Very nice.
I'll go on to the Twitter sphere. Thank you, mate.
Yeah,
thank you.
Good. Okay, right. Back with the preview of the Hero World Challenge in just a moment.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Be the right club today!
Right, welcome back. We've got three great tournaments to preview, and we'll start with the Hero World Challenge, which is very much all about quality over quantity. Only 18 runners, but when Ian gives us latest Paddy Power show, we will realise just what a great field we're dealing with. Take it away, Ian.
Yeah, so a very favourable five places this week in the Hero. Justin Rose and Ricky Fowler headed betting at 7-1. Dustin Johnson next in at 15-2. Justin Thomas 8-1. Tiger Woods 9-1. Bryson DeChambeau 10-1. John Rahm 11-1. Tony Finau 14-1 and 16-1 bar.
That's marvellous, isn't it, Steve? What a field, eh?
Yeah, it's always an enjoyable tournament, this one. Nice course in the Bahamas. I don't know if you've ever been to the Bahamas.
No, sadly not.
Yeah, I'd like to get over there one day. I haven't either. This course only opened in December 2010, so quite a young track. It's been
staged
there.
Who does it suit?
It suits the big hitters. It's a wide open layout. There's five par fives. Bubba Watson won the inaugural edition in 2015. Then Hideki Matsuyama and Ricky Fowler won the next two.
Okay, so Steve, I think all the eggs are in one single basket for this one, aren't they?
Absolutely, yeah. There was only one viable wager this week, and it's the defending champion, Ricky Fowler. I think Fowler is highly motivated for this one. This is an important tournament for him. He's not tasted victory since he won this by four shots last year. I think at this time of the year, most of the elite players have got their eye on the Christmas puddings, not putting in the practice, but I think Fowler's desperate to avoid a 2018 blank. And, he knows he owns this course. He signed off with a 61 to destroy the field last year. An absolutely incredible round. And it was a round that was coming because he was third in the previous two Heroes at Albany. His scoring average there is 67.66. He's 52 under par there for 216 holes. So massively course proven. At the start of November, he had a week with his coach, Butch Harmon, at the Shriners Open. Honing his swing, and he closed with a 63 there for fourth place. Had another decent November outing in the Mayakoba, finished 16th. So I like the way he's building towards this title defence. And if you start digging through the rest of this field, there's eight debutants. And once you start, easy to pick holes in the others, and I just can't pick holes in Fowler.
Okay, anyone else you like, or you're just going to be Fowler all the way? Yeah,
I'm Fowler all the way. I think Justin Thomas is dangerous, but he's had a month off. He's a bit rusty. Dustin Johnson, he's obviously got the tools to destroy this course, but he's not been firing on all cylinders. His brother got married at the weekend, so I doubt he'll be caddying for him. Justin Rose is probably the biggest threat, but interesting situation with Rose. There's a lot of talk on the circuit. I've got pretty reliable sources that he's switching his clubs in the new year to Honma, a Japanese company. So the reason that he missed the DP World Tour Championship the other day is because he'd been doing club testing. He's been with TaylorMade since the year dot, and he's obviously going to be doing a lot of intensive club testing with Honma, chasing the big bucks. I mean, it sounds like an absolutely crazy thing to do, but I just think if you're practicing with different clubs and you're going to play in the Hero, then that's obviously a negative. So, yeah, I can't find a better bet than Fowler. I can't find an alternative.
That's fine. Good. Ian, who do you like?
Yeah, we're going to need a bigger basket here because there's a lot more eggs going on top. It's also Ricky Fowler. He's been playing some really good golf recently without getting his head in front. I was just scanning through his form figures worldwide since the beginning of June. They go 8th, 20th, 12th, 6th, 28th, 17th, 12th, 8th, 7th, 4th and 16th. His four places, the Shriners, included the final round 63. Steve mentioned that 16th last time out at the Mayakoba. He just didn't hold enough putts in a birdie fest. Coming back to Albany, he's a fantastic record, as Steve mentioned again. Three appearances, form figures of 3-3-1. That final round 61 was an incredible round of golf. He obviously loves the course and the area. He holidays in these parts every year after the Masters with Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas. With his very good recent form and his affiliation with the course and area, he'd be my main bet at the Hero at 8-1.
Wow, excellent. And no one else in?
No one else for me, no.
That's it. So the boys both agree that only having one bet on the Hero, and that is Ricky Fowler. Talking of Tiger, Steve, he's in the field, isn't he? I believe there's some embryo news, isn't there?
There is some embryo news. Yeah, yeah. We had a scan the other day which revealed the sex of impending baby, and delighted to say it was a boy. Yeah.
So you've got naming rights here, haven't you?
I love the way you're saying that. Yeah, yeah. I think I have. Yeah, if you're listening, Nicola, I think I have, because Grace was number one choice of Nicola for our first, our daughter, and I like the name as well, to be perfectly frank.
Are we still going with Fabio Tiger?
Tiger Fabio Palmer is on the agenda now. I mean, I gave a tiger fist pump when I got the news on the scan. It was quite an embarrassing moment, actually. I try to stay all calm and diplomatic, I don't care what it is, and as long as it's healthy. But then when the time came, I released a tiger fist pump in front of the scanographer, whatever you call them. And she wondered what the hell was going on. So I think it would be appropriate to call the baby Tiger Fabio Palmer.
I thought it was Fabio first, no?
No, Tiger first. But yeah, Nicola's fuming. Like, every time I bring up the subject, it's a face like thunder. So I don't know, it'd probably be Rupert or something.
Okay, right. That's that. We've done that tournament. Let's do the Mauritius Open next.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Oh, baby.
Welcome back, Bruce Millington, Steve Palmer and Ian McLaughlin of Paddy Power. We are looking ahead to the Afrasia Bank Mauritius Open. A course called Anahita at the Four Seasons in Mauritius. Steve, you're in lovely Mauritius earlier this year, but I believe you're far too under the thumb to have got a game of golf. So do you know anything about the course?
Yeah, I know enough about the course. Yeah, it's been used only once for this tournament before, 2016. But it's also hosted the Mauritius Masters, which is a 54-hole invitational pro-am from 2010 to 2016. A third of the course plays directly alongside the ocean. It's a beautiful setting, but obviously the wind can play a major role. Scoring very poor in 2016 because it was howling, but the breeze is not forecast to be anywhere near as bad this week. Very, very wide fairways there to be attacked.
Okay, before we get the tips, let's get the betting in.
Yeah, seven places this week in Mauritius. Dylan Fratelli heads the betting at 9-1. Jordan Smith next in at 12-1. Nicholas Colsart 16-1. Victor Perez 20-1. Matthias Schwab 22-1. Roman Langas 22-1 and 25-1 bar.
And how many baskets are you going with, Ian, for this one?
I have five eggs in my little basket now for this tournament.
Away you go.
I go with the main one, is Jordan Smith. Smith's been in very good form in the past month. Third in the British Masters at Walton Heath, was followed up by a 21st in Nedbank and a 12th finish in Dubai. Was in the second last group in Dubai, but a final round 74 scuppered his chances of victory. He's taken a marked step down in grade this week in Mauritius. The Four Seasons course measures around 7,400 yards. It's going to get plenty of rain from now until the tournament starts. Obviously going to make the course play super long. Smith can really send it out there. Looking back through his previous season, his only European Tour win came in a long, rain-softened golf course. That was at the Green Eagle course in Germany for the Porsche European Open. I have him personally much closer to tournament favourite Dylan Vertelli at the head of the betting. I think 16-1 looks an excellent bet this week.
Okay, and Steve, who's your main one?
Well, I've got six eggs in this tournament. I've got nine selections this week in total across three tournaments. Nicholas Colsart's number one selection in Mauritius. He calls Mauritius his second home, been visiting the island since 1997, became the touring pro for four seasons in 2010. So he knows this course intimately, regular visitor. He won the inaugural Mauritius Masters in 2010. He was fourth in the Mauritius Masters in 2015. And in the 2016 Mauritius Open, he carded a course record 65 on his way to third place. So even though conditions weren't perfect for him in 2016, he finished third. I think this week it's better for him. Calmer conditions, soft courses, Ian mentions. He can unleash his enormous power to great effect. And he's found form at the perfect time. 10th place in the Dunhill Links at the start of last month was encouraging. And his November form figures are 14, 35, 52, 14. And last week he topped the greens in regulation stats in Hong Kong. I mean, that's an absolutely jaw-dropping statistic. For Colesurf,
that's not his track at all.
That's not his track at all. The previous time he played there, he missed the cut by 6 shots. For Colesurf to top the greens in regulation stats there and exude such control, a tight, fiddly course like that, it really bodes well for the future. And he closed with a 65 on Sunday. Yeah, everything points to Colesurf this week. There's been a lot of players ending long victory droughts lately, and they're Westwood, yeah. Kuchar, Willett, Charles Howe. I think it's the turn of Colesurf. If a half decent week of putting and slow greens this week will help him, and I think Colesurf wins this.
Has he been struggling with the old big dog all year though? I mean, or has that not been his problem?
No.
It's putting. He's taken a couple of backward steps this year, no?
Colesurf's putting is an issue, but these are greens he knows very well. I think he'll dominate from tee to green. I think he'll beat the field up from tee to green. If he holds his share of putts on the greens, then I think he wins.
Okay, so Colesurf is Steve's main tip. Jordan Smith is Ian's main tip. Ian has four other selections. Rattle through those, my friend.
Yeah, sure. A couple of next best and then two outsiders. So the two next best, first one is Victor Perez. Perez is a long hitter who's graduated from the Challenge Tour to the main tour in October. Finished third in that order of merit. Kicked off his 2019 European Tour season with an excellent third last week of Fang Ling. Much like Colesurf, that course would not have played to his strengths at all, so that piece of form can be marked up, coming to a course and setup that should really suit him. He was as big as 40-1 to the start of the week, so he's eventually been found in the market, but in this level of field, I'm still happy to go with 25-1. The next best is Nicholas Colesurf. Next best, too, is Nicholas Colesurf. As Steve says, bases himself in Mauritius in his off-season, has openly said he loves the Four Seasons course, his favourite course in the whole area. He certainly backed up that statement with a third in 2016. 14th last week, as we mentioned, in Hong Kong. Like Perez, Fang Ling would have not suited his effortless power. I feel, like Steve, he could pick apart a soft and long Four Seasons golf course. Looks one of the better each-way propositions this week at 25-1. First outsider is Xander Lombard. Having a patchy enough season, 6 in the Irish Open, a highlight in the European Tour, 1 in the Sunshine Tour in August, and was 4 2 weeks ago on their season finale, so the game looks in solid shape. Another one who'd be suited by a long and soft course. I thought 80-1 looked more than fair. And the second outsider is Travis Smith, a long-hitting Australian who had a good season on both the Australasian and Asian tours. Much like the other four, he should relish the course setup. General price is 150-1. He'll complete my quintet this week.
You two are in glorious agreement on a lot of these players this week, aren't you? Steve, who are your other five selections?
Yeah, there's a lot of jewel eggs here, isn't there? But next best is Romain Langask. Langask won at this course on Monday. That little Express Golf Tour Challenge event, a high-speed pairs event on Monday at Four Seasons. He won that with Clement Sorday. Langask won on the Challenge Tour by 3 shots at the end of September. He finished 4th in his final Challenge Tour outing, then 5th at European Tour Q School. So Langask is absolutely buzzing, bursting with form, and his best European Tour finish ever came in last year's Mauritius Open. He finished 3rd. 4 more, Victor Perez, as discussed, finished 4th for driving accuracy in Hong Kong last week on his debut at the course, 5th for greens and regulation, finished 3rd in the tournament overall. Incredible debut on a course which doesn't suit. 1 on the Challenge Tour at the end of October, finished 2nd in the Challenge Tour Grand Final, and he was 5th in the 2016 Mauritius Masters at Four Seasons. A bit of hidden form there. So we're going Colesurf, Langask, Perez as your main bets, and then you've got 3 at bigger prices. Xander Lombard, inconsistent South African youngster, lost a player for the Rocco Forte Open at a coastal track last year. Similar course to this. Got off the mark on the Sunshine Tour. Joint first at European Tour Q School the week before last. Clement Sorday, as mentioned, joined forces with Langask on Monday. Shared the winner's check. Sorday is attached to the other Mauritius Open venue, the Heritage. He knows Four Seasons extremely well. And finally, Garth Mulroy. I mean, these tips are all in order of preference. If you can't stretch to 6, I won't hold it against you. But Mulroy has upped his game since turning 40 in July. 40 was a big landmark for a man, and a woman, I guess. I know that myself. And it seems to have had a very positive effect on him. He won his won on the Sunshine Tour a month ago. Flopped at Q School, but generally in fine fettle, and I think Four Seasons suit. So, 6 against the field, but Colesurf is the best of them, and Langask and Perez are the next best.
Has turning 40 helped you, Steve, do you think?
Oh, well, things have been going pretty well, haven't they? Yeah. Perhaps a more well-rounded individual. I don't know. I wouldn't like to say. Not for me to say.
Okay. Well, I've used plenty of descriptions. You, Steve, well-rounded has not been one of them yet, but you're getting there by the sound of it. Let's have a quick break, and then we'll do the PGA. We'll do the Australian PGA Championship.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Give them the hall! Hi there. Our third tournament that we're going to preview this week is the Australian PGA Championship. It takes place at the RACV Royal Pines Resort, which I believe is up in Queensland, so it won't be affected by the hideous weather that's been affecting Sydney. It starts, I guess, tonight. That's Wednesday, so you'll need to get your bets on fairly early. Steve, before we get the tips and the betting, what's the best way of following these Australian events, do you find?
Good question. Yeah, it's a shame this one's not on the telly. I mean, this is just a case of leaderboards for me.
Which site do you go to?
I like Flash Scores. You know, Flash Scores.
Yeah, I do. That's a good one. Flash Scores very much.
But this is a European Tour event, so the European Tour website, yeah, notoriously problematic. But hopefully that'll be.
I don't mind it.
Hopefully, it'll be firing all cylinders this week.
Okay. So we should be able to follow it on our phones, but no pictures,
yeah.
No?
Yeah, and if there were pictures, it'd be through the night. So you'd have, it's not a great tournament to be viewing. But, a lot of punters just like waking up in the morning and seeing that they've won lots of money, don't they?
They do. Ian, when you wake up and you go and you fire up the app, do you go bottom of the leaderboard up or top down?
I go top down.
Do you?
I'm confident. Confident when I wake up. Yeah, I don't wake up starting from the bottom.
Steve taught me bottom up, and he's absolutely right, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah, you've got to go bottom up. You know, build the excitement.
That heartbreak of having to keep scrolling. You get to like the 40ths, and then the 50ths, and then you find your guy languishing in tied 87th. It's just heartbreaking, isn't it?
Or DQ.
I'll adopt that approach this week. Then
give
I'll
it a go.
Bottom to top.
It's yeah, much better. Top. But before you do that, Ian, how do Paddy Power bet on the Aussie PGA?
Yeah, so six places this week in the Aussie PGA. Cameron Smith and Mark Leishman, joint favourites of 5-1. Harold Varner next in at 8-1. Jason Scrivener, 18-1. Lucas Herbert, 18-1. Adrian Otegi, 20-1. And 22-1 bar.
And Steve, how many tips do you have for this one?
Just two.
Two? Yeah. Let's do them both now.
Okay. The bookies made Mark Leishman slight favourite this week over Cameron Smith, but I thought the prices were the wrong way round. I think Leishman was disappointed in the World Cup last week. I mean, I did the shift last week through the night for four nights running and watched pretty much every shot that the Aussies hit. And Leishman was the weaker partner by a significant amount. He missed a tiddler at the 16th on Sunday when they had a really good chance of winning the tournament. That was a criminal act. And Smith, in contrast, was brilliant for the most part. I think Smith really came of age last week. He was loving it. He was performing so well in front of home support in a World Cup. I think it was a big tournament for Smith, and I think he's just getting better and better. And his Aussie PGA form figures at Royal Pines are 35, 9, 5, 15, 1. He won it last year. He saw off Jordan Zunick in a playoff. So massively course-proven. He's a Queenslander. He's the home state hero this week. He loves having his family and friends supporting him. He's clearly got his A game, playing one of his favourite tracks. Yeah, I think Smith is the man to beat.
And who are you going to back that one up with? Terry Pilkadaris?
No, Terry didn't make the staking plan, I'm afraid. They're just one man. Sean Crocker, also got a very good name. Promising 22-year-old American. He's just earned his European Tour card with a burst of brilliance on the Challenge Tour. He's finished third four times in the last 4 months on the Challenge Tour. And then in the final event, the Grand Final, he finished fifth. So incredible form. Last week, you can forget about Hong Kong. The morning starters in Hong Kong had the worst of conditions. He shot a 77 on day one, then shot a 66 the following day to miss the cut by a shot. I think Crocker's in great form, and he played Royal Pines last year as his debut, and he finished seventh. You know, massively inexperienced and finished seventh. So, Crocker is the each-way alternative to Cameron Smith.
Steve, as you know, we do love a silly named golfer, don't we? And I've been fascinated by a guy playing in these Australian events recently called Blake Proverbs. What an incredible name that is, isn't it?
Yeah, they keep coming.
Kipling wrote or something, the Blake Proverbs. Ian, how many tips have you got?
Just one in Australia. It is Lucas Herbert. Had a very good season on the European Tour, finishing 47 on the Race to Dubai. Returning to Australia this week, where his record since the start of 2017 makes for nice reading. Form figures of 6-9, miscut 36-2, 6-7-3. Royal Pines will play long enough this week. Herbert's one of the longest hitters on the European Tour. Finished seventh here in his second start last year. I think he's a much better player now than last year. He'll be my only bet this week, and he'll be a very confident one at 20-1.
Ooh, blimey. Excellent. Good stuff, lads. So you're keeping it minimal for two of the tournaments and getting stuck in Mauritius. We'll have a very quick tip recap. I haven't written them down, so you're going to have to help me, lads. I know you've both gone for Ricky Fowler in the Hero Challenge. In Australia, Steve, you've gone for Cameron Smith and Sam Crocker.
Sean Crocker.
Ian's gone for Lucas Herbert. That's all nice and simple. And in Mauritius, Steve, give us your six. Just the names.
Mauritius, Kolsarts, Langask, Perez, Lombard, Sorde, Mulroy.
And Ian, your five.
Jordan Smith, Victor Perez, Nicholas Kolsarts, Xander Lombard and Travis Smith.
And they are in order of preference. Steve, if you are only having one golf bet this week, what would it be?
It would be the Ricky Fowler, Nicholas Kolsarts and Cameron Smith each way treble.
Love that. Million pound drop. Are you going for it?
Yeah, I am.
How much do you have to have on to trigger the million?
Well, the treble's half a mil, and the Fowler Kolsarts double is... I've got the Fowler Kolsarts double for half a mil as well. So, yeah, you have to have 1750 each way on the double, and you have to have 310 each way on the treble.
You've strapped on the old betting boots there, haven't you?
Yeah, you've got to have a go. And
When we say 1750, sorry, that's 1750, which, you know, just in case you thought, oh, that sounds good. I'll win half a million quid for £17.50. That's not going to get
a dress
it done.
Rehearsal. It's not a dress rehearsal, Bruce. We've got to get this, got to get living.
I guess not. Ian, are you going for a life changer this week or are you going to be sensible?
I'll be sensible, but I'll still go for it. It'd be a life changer for me. I'll go for about 40 grand. So it'll be Ricky Fowler, Jordan Smith and Lucas Herbert each way treble.
I'm going to do both of those bets and I'm going to wish you all the best of luck. Now then, next week, we'll look back on the golfing year. We will preview the South African Open and the QBE shootout. Unfortunately, it's the last podcast of the year. We'll have a little break over Christmas and hopefully come back in the new year. We will also, chaps, I will be tapping you up for players to follow and maybe your best bet in the majors. So if you can get studying away on that, that would be fantastic. I'm back in the chair tomorrow for the football podcast. We've got racing on Friday. Frank Hickey, David Jennings and Paul Keighley join me to look ahead to the Ladbrokes Trophy and the Fighting Fifth. And as I say, we are back next Wednesday for the final golf podcast of the year. So thank you very much for joining us today. Hope you join us next week as well.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Light the candle, Tiger!